You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We're talking about threats and terrorism and this third anniversary coming up tomorrow of a 9/11. President Bush has said many times that we are engaged in a war on terror. My next guest, national security expert Graham Allison, says that what we really need is a war on nuclear terror. He says it's just a matter of time until a terrorist sets off a nuclear bomb. But can it be prevented? He says, yes, it can. So for the rest of the hour, we're going to talk about nuclear terrorism. What are the threats? Where are they coming from? And how they might be prevented. Our number, 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. Graham Allison is the author of Nuclear Terrorism, The Ultimate Preventable Catastrophe, out this year from Times Books. He's also the Douglas Dillon Professor of Government and Director of the Belfer Center for Science and International Affairs at the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard. He was the Assistant Secretary of Defense in the first Clinton administration and worked to reduce the former Soviet Union's nuclear arsenal. Welcome to the program, Dr. Allison.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've written, and you wrote way back as far as 1995, you wrote in a Washington Post op-ed piece that in the absence of a determined program of action, we have every reason to anticipate acts of nuclear terrorism before this decade is out. Do you still think that's the case?
Unfortunately, yes. And I think that the more the evidence mounts, the more reason there is for being concerned. I don't say alarmed, but I say concerned. I think we certainly know now after 9/11 that we face a determined adversary who wants to kill thousands, indeed, if you read what bin Laden says, millions of Americans. We know that there's the potential for Al-Qaeda, which has been working on this task for now almost a decade, to acquire nuclear weapons. And we know that in the period in which we've been, over the past 2 years, virtually consumed by Iraq, that North Korea and Iran have essentially gotten a pass and are advancing their nuclear ambitions. And we know in Pakistan that AQ Khan, the father of the Pakistani nuclear bomb, was in the global black market business selling nuclear technologies, nuclear material, bomb design. So I would say that the gathering cloud is more visible and the potential for an attack more imminent than when I first tried to get this into sharper focus, you know, back some time ago.
You talk about Iran and North Korea, but aren't there thousands of bombs of worth of nuclear weapons, you know, that are left over from the Soviet Union still lying around and possibly being lost?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if you
so you don't need to develop your own bomb.
Well, that's exactly right, and the fact that the weapons that were the stuff of the Cold War and the highly enriched uranium and plutonium, which is the stuff from which a bomb can be made, didn't go away with the end of the Cold War is a kind of a fact that most people haven't integrated. I mean, there's a temptation by lots of Americans, even very sophisticated Americans, to imagine nuclear weapons and nuclear war and all that stuff was what we worried about during the Cold War. The Cold War's over. We won. Let's move on. But the physical objects didn't move on, and we now know that there are people who want those nuclear weapons. As bin Laden says, it's their religious duty, and he's announced his objective to kill 4 million Americans. Well, you're not going to get there with 9/11 attacks. It would take 1,400 cases of airplanes crashing into buildings to reach such a grotesque objective.
Your book is very chilling. On the other hand, there is the other half of the equation. It's called Nuclear Terrorism, the Ultimate Preventable Catastrophe. How is it preventable?
Well, I appreciate very much the way you put it, because the main message of this book is part two, the subtitle, The Ultimate Preventable Catastrophe. Unlike bioterrorism, for example, where it's hard to imagine, given the biotech revolution, that somebody's not going to make something like anthrax and use it. Unlike bioterrorism or other forms of catastrophic terrorism, nuclear terrorism is preventable. And this is a fact that we haven't actually got into our into our bones yet. And because the happy fact of physics is no fissile material, that's highly enriched uranium or plutonium, no fission explosion, this is the vast release of energy that produces a mushroom cloud, no nuclear terrorism. So all we have to do, it's a lot, but all we have to do is prevent terrorists acquiring highly enriched uranium or plutonium. Fortunately, neither of these occur in nature. Both are exceedingly difficult to make. Iran has been 18 years into a project trying to produce itself highly enriched uranium or plutonium, and is just now coming to the finish line. This is not impossible to do, but it requires the resources of a state with large facilities and a lot of money. So in principle, and I outline a strategy for actually doing this, the U.S. could lead a global coalition which would, in the first instance, lock up all of the highly enriched uranium and plutonium in and out of bombs to a gold standard. If you ask, does the U.S. lose any gold from Fort Knox? The answer is, of course not, not even an ounce. Does Russia lose any treasures from the Kremlin armory? Nope. So do human beings know how to lock up things that we don't want people to steal? Absolutely. So that's a technology that's ready to hand, and we can then prevent other states producing new highly enriched uranium and plutonium because that's such a vast undertaking. So I try to organize this under a so-called doctrine of three no's. No loose nukes, that's locking up everything to a gold standard. No new nascent nukes, that means no new national production of highly enriched uranium or plutonium, and no new nuclear weapon states. It's an ambitious agenda, but I believe it's very feasible and quite affordable. Indeed, if I try to compare it to a venture like Iraq, just to put it in comparison, it is a much, much, much easier and much, much, much less expensive enterprise, but I think it's a much graver danger.
But is it not possible that the horse is out of the barn already, that a lot of this nuclear material has fallen in to terrorist hands that might fashion it, or actually the actual bombs themselves into weapons?
It is. And so I think that, I take your point. It's quite conceivable to me, indeed, it's quite conceivable to, I think, any of the experts who've worked on this topic, that, God forbid, a nuclear bomb could go off tomorrow in San Francisco or Chicago or Boston, that as Al-Qaeda may have already succeeded in acquiring a weapon. In fact, in the book, Nuclear Terrorism, I start off in the introductory chapter by relating an actual incident, not a Hollywood scenario, but an actual incident where the U.S. government thought for 3 days, just 1 month after 9/11, that there was a 10-kiloton nuclear weapon in New York City, and there was no basis on which to judge that it wasn't there, except that it turned out that this report of a CIA agent turned out to be incorrect, but it could happen. And so it's conceivable, indeed I would say it's even likely, that some little bit of material is already loose, and that is another problem. And I think with respect to that, our chances of having much impact are rather modest. But the good news is that for most of this problem, the weapons and the material could be today locked down at the source. None of the states involved have any interest in having a weapon lost. I mean, I've been in touch with Russians just this past week, thinking about this horror with the school children there. I mean, if Chechens get a nuclear weapon that's lost or stolen out of the Soviet arsenal, the former Soviet arsenal, their first target is Moscow, not here. So there's a real bedrock of self-interest that the state should be able to build on if we manage to have a U.S. government leading, saying, this is a problem we're simply going to solve.
Yeah, very interesting. My guest is Graham Allison, author of Nuclear Terrorism, The Ultimate Preventable Catastrophe. We're talking about that this hour on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. So what steps do you think this government should be doing, or any government should be doing?
Well, I think that where it has to start is with a president who says, I got it. And President Bush and Senator Kerry have both said the words. Both have said the greatest threat, and President Bush says the gravest threat to Americans' survival and our freedoms is a nuclear terrorist attack. So they got to not only say it, they got to get it and feel it in their guts. And then they need to determine that they're simply going to do everything that's technically feasible on the fastest possible timetable to prevent that from happening. So I lay out a plan in which I would think the president of the U.S., President Bush, if he became persuaded of this today, would sit down with President Putin, who should be in a quite agreeable mood right now as he tries to think about, you know, his own security problems, and say, let's agree jointly and personally that each of us is going to do everything we can in our own society to assure that this doesn't happen. And we're going to do that by bringing all of the weapons and all the material in our states to this gold standard, and in a way that each other can tell whether it's actually happened. So that would probably take, you know, some number of months, maybe even the rest of the year, but you'd get started on it. And 95% of the mess is in the U.S. and Russia. I mean, we started it, we made the most, we have the most, so we ought to be the leaders in terms of locking it up and beginning to dispose of it. Then they would go and round up the rest of the members of the nuclear club, one by one, and on a personal basis with the leaders, getting them to pledge that they would do similarly within their own society. So that would be the no loose nuke piece. But it would require a president who would think about this problem about every day and who would be prepared to exercise personal leadership and be prepared to exert some personal leverage in making things happen, because otherwise you've got lots of bureaucratic log jams and lots of obstacles that will be otherwise, you know, difficult to overcome.
We don't even hear about this as a topic on the campaign trail very much.
Well, week. We don't. I mean, Senator Kerry gave a very tough and very, I think, pointed speech on it. I think it was back on the 1st of June, saying he thinks this is the greatest threat the U.S. faces, and it would be for him and his administration the most urgent priority. And President Bush gave a speech about it back in February or March, again saying it's the most important threat. But when you look at our behavior every day, you wouldn't find it very tightly connected to such statements.
Are you optimistic that this is going to receive a higher priority? I mean, is it going to take some disaster to bring this to the forefront?
You're getting right to the quick of the matter. I mean, I have friends who say, Americans can't get up for doing something hard before disaster happens. And actually, I found the most discouraging line that kept being recurring line in the 9/11 commission hearings, both from Republican cabinet officers and from Clinton, you know, cabinet officers, it was impossible to do anything more before we were attacked because people weren't demanding it or they wouldn't have supported it or otherwise. That's not my conception of what, you know, political leadership is supposed to be about. It's not supposed to wait until we as citizens say, you know, this is so urgent you have to act on it. So as an optimist, I hope that we could make this what seems to me a fairly short step of imagination from 9/11, where we can look and see there's no question whatever that people killed 3,000 folks that day and that they intend to kill thousands or hundreds of thousands, even millions more, if they could. And what's preventing them from doing that is getting their hands on the means. So getting from 9/11 to a nuclear 9/11 doesn't seem to me like a stretch too far for the American public or American policy elites or policy communities' judgment.
Don't need
so
much.
I would hope it happens.
Yeah. Don't need much imagination. As they talked about the failure of the imagination. It's not hard to imagine this happening.
It doesn't seem too long a stretch. So,
yeah.
But the pessimists would say this is an agenda for after the first
disaster.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. Dr. Graham Allison is the author of Nuclear Terrorism, The Ultimate Preventable Catastrophe, out this year by Times Books. He's also the Douglas Dillon Professor of Government and Director of the Belfer Center for Science and International Affairs at the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard. Our program is produced by Annette Heist and senior producer Karen Vergoth. Charles Berquist is our web producer and our director. If you'd like to write us, surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com. You can leave us email. Also listen to back editions of Science Friday. Take them away in your Audible player. And also listen on Real Audio. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.